We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Two down, two to go. Welcome to hour three of Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. NBA Board of Governors thinking about the idea of mixing up the playoff format. Seeding everybody, regardless of conference, Western or Eastern, 1 through 16. Do you like the idea? Is it a good idea? Maybe get some competitive balance in the playoffs and get the best two teams in the NBA Finals. That hasn't been the case in the last handful of years. Joining us now to talk about it, Jake Mattison, Locked On Pelicans podcast, at NOLA Jake. Jake, I'm all for this, the idea of regardless if you're in the East or the West, you seed them 1 through 16. Are you?
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of any team in the Western Conference, which of course the Pelicans are, you certainly want to see that because they'd be finishing potentially as a top four seed in the East, having much better seeding, and it would make their path throughout the playoffs a whole lot easier. It does need to go through, you know, the Board of Governors approval, and I can probably promise you that every single owner of every team in the Eastern Conference is going to try and shoot this idea down, so I don't think it's anything that we'll be seeing anytime soon. But certainly the league needs a little bit more competitive balance. I'm not one of the people who believes that the regular season is pointless or anything like that, but it needs to be a little bit better so it's not just kind of the same teams every single year kind of, you know, running their way through the playoffs. So I think that would be a very big step for the NBA to kind of right what's going wrong with the league currently.
Look, I'm glad the NBA is acknowledging that they have an issue there, because a lot of teams, a lot of leagues would say, well, the numbers, the viewers are is an all-time high. Our numbers are great. But it's better to head off a problem at the pass than to let it bubble up, and then all of a sudden you're scrambling. So I like with the NBA being proactive about this. They know it's an issue. Now, the argument to this, though, is going to be, the counter to this argument would be the travel. It's going to really tax teams in travel. I think you can work around that, right?
Yeah, you know, this is one of the more interesting things. And, you know, if you do change it where you just seed, say, 1 through 16, you need to basically do away with conferences and divisions at that point and kind of try and create the most balanced schedule possible. Otherwise, it still doesn't end up kind of accomplishing what they want. They've done studies on this where if you kind of build a model like that, you can actually reduce travel by a couple thousand miles that most teams face during this. And also, you know, I think the idea of travel being an issue is a little bit overblown. That was maybe an issue where teams were flying commercial, but now with charter flights, private planes, they have the comfort and the luxury to kind of recover and not have that be as impactful on their bodies as it might be otherwise. So I think that's a little bit overblown, but it's certainly something that you can kind of schedule around and figure out the best way to kind of minimize that.
Jake Mattison, Locked On Pelicans podcast, at NOLA Jake on Twitter. Jake, does this seeding impact the Pelicans or not at all?
Oh, it definitely would. You know, I think that's something where all of a sudden, instead of being in the bottom half of the Western Conference playoffs, they're looking to be maybe in the middle of the total pack, which is going to give them kind of an opponent they can definitely beat in the first round. We saw what they were capable of against the Portland Trail Blazers, and they managed to take care of business there. Imagine if you do that and you don't have to face the Warriors or the Houston Rockets in the next round. You're going to be feeling much better about the Pelicans advancing further into the playoffs.
Jake, how long do you think it'll be before we see some sort of reseeding? How long does this have to happen? I mean, does this have to be collectively bargained as well?
This is something that it's got to be the owners approving it. I don't think it's something that would need to be collectively bargained. I just think that with the teams in the Eastern Conference, their owners want to stay there and they don't want anything to change because it means they have an easier shot at making the playoffs right now. And it's been a number of years now, not just one or two seasons, but we're going on a decade plus, where the Western Conference has been significantly better than the East top to bottom overall. And it's a dogfight out there for those teams where it's much easier to get into the playoffs than the East. So those owners are going to say, no, we don't want this. We want to keep it exactly as it is. So until you can start to win them over somewhat, I think it's going to be kind of a long fight and an uphill battle to kind of get this changed.
So you don't anticipate this coming to fruition before next summer's playoffs?
No, I don't think so. I think this is something that's going to take a while for it. I think it still would be a great thing to see. I think they're going to discuss it. They'll certainly talk about it at their meetings, but I don't think we're going to see any changes like this come through just yet. So the Pelicans, unfortunately, still going to be a little bit stuck in the Western Conference facing these juggernaut teams.
Jake, so if you're a Pelicans fan, talk me down off the idea that, okay, why do I need to pay attention to the regular season with the dominance in the Western Conference?
Look, there's a great equalizer out there in any sport, and that's injuries. And sometimes all you need is Steph Curry to go down for an extended period of time. LeBron James, who's never really suffered an injury, to be injured, to take the Lakers out of this. Same thing for James Harden. It's kind of the great equalizer, and that can open a window for this Pelicans team to really make a run. They feel confident, though, too, now that they've brought in Julius Randle, who's being unveiled tomorrow, with Anthony Davis now being the focal point and the leader of this team, that they can really take a step forward. They were big fans of how they played after the DeMarcus Cousins injury last season with that hyper-fast style of play. Now you've got another big who can kind of run in that as well. Instead of having four guys run, you're going to see five guys run. And they think that can take them to the next level because most teams don't really know how to defend that. It's very difficult to defend that. And this team is going to be so good at it, they're going to do it constantly, that it's just going to make them fun to watch in general. I like watching the kind of peak athleticism we're seeing from these guys. Dunks are fun, let's be honest. But again, they're one injury away from maybe having this door blown wide open for them to make a deep playoff run, potentially to the NBA Finals.
Which of the offseason moves the Pelicans made do you like the most?
You know, I'm a big fan of Julius Randle. Yeah. This is a guy who is kind of like a Boogie Light, like a slimmer, faster, more athletic version of DeMarcus Cousins. He's fast in the break. He's just as strong as DeMarcus Cousins is. And when he gets a full head of steam, he's almost impossible to stop. He's a good passer out in the pick and roll, too. I think instead of the guards leading the break for this team, the fast break, you're going to see Anthony Davis and Julius Randle doing it. If they manage to re-sign him next year, I'm going to feel pretty good about this team. But kind of the pairing where now Davis is a bit more of a court spacer, you've got Julius Randle handling that kind of low block and the rebounding and all of that. I think there's a lot of potential for this team to grow, and I think you're going to see him kind of be the paradigm shift here for it, where you've got this guy who's aggressive on the defensive side of the ball, who can do it all offensively, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this team get out and run next year.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. Where can they find it?
Yeah, wherever you get your podcast from, Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, breaking down everything you want to know about this team. We're still in the offseason. They're going to be making some other moves, so we're kind of talking about those. They just signed Trevon Blewett to a two-way contract. I think that's exciting with what he's done in Summer League. So Locked On Pelicans, wherever you get your podcast from.
Jake, I know what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. If you had to pick one, you can only choose one, college football or NFL football, what are you taking?
It's not even a question. It's college football, I think, without a doubt. I love the NFL. I love the Saints. But, man, at times it just feels a little too slow. It feels like it's a little bit faster paced in college. I think I just enjoy the atmospheres a little bit more. So it's not even a question in my mind. College football all the way.
It's not faster paced, Jake.
So no, like, I know, but
the game times are longer in college football.
And everything. Yeah. So I know it is, but I think it's with the atmosphere and the way the fans are cheering
okay.
and different things like that. It kind of adds to it. And
so the pageantry is important to you.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Los Angeles guy. Grew up going to USC games. My girlfriend's dad played football for Alabama, so I've recently become a huge fan there and going to games there. And that kind of atmosphere and the passion that you see from these people, it's a lot of fun to kind of just be in the stands. I've been to games at Tiger Stadium as well, and hopefully my beloved Tulane Green Wave will get there at some point to have kind of the same impact.
Hey, Willie Fritz has got them rolling. He might have them bowl eligible. So how'd you end up down here from Cali?
So the story that I tell everyone is I wanted to go to USC. My entire family went there, but that was back in 2004 when their football team got very good and it became near impossible to get into USC with the sun and being near the beach and a good football team. Tulane was my second choice. That's kind of where I ended up going, and I have never left New Orleans since then, and I have no intention of really ever leaving New Orleans now.
You are a New Orleanian, even though you grew up out there on the West Coast, man.
I like to think so. So now that I've got your seal of approval, that's what I'll start saying.
Jake, you know what's interesting about Tulane alumni? And this is a issue that I've talked about before with the support for Tulane athletics. Most of the alumni are out of state. I mean, most of their students are out of state, right? So when they get their education, they move back out of state. You're different, okay? So I think it's great that you stuck around here and still support Tulane. That doesn't happen very often because most of the students that go to Tulane are out of state, and then they get their diploma and they move back to where they were from or to a different state. And that's why I think that Tulane sometimes doesn't have necessarily as much alumni support as you would hope for and think so.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of it comes from out of state. I know Louisiana still is the number one state for them, but a lot of people do leave, and I think that partially speaks to New Orleans and the job market and things like that. But you're seeing a change a little bit now. A lot of my friends stayed after college. I've talked to a lot of younger alums that are staying there, too. New Orleans really gets its hooks into you, and again, nowhere else I'd rather be.
Yeah, look, I know that Louisiana, they still draw a lot from Louisiana, but more so than maybe other schools in the state, certainly LSU. You know, there's not a lot of out of state kids that are going to LSU compared to Tulane. I just think about the alumni support. I'm like, man, a lot of it's because they end up leaving town. Even if they are in state, Jake, and they end up leaving town because they got this great Tulane diploma, and they got other opportunities around the country. It's unfortunate because I'd like to see a little bit more support, alumni support in particular, for Tulane, you know?
Yeah, 100% agree with you. So hopefully maybe you and I can start convincing them to stay down here a little bit because New Orleans is a fun place.
It is. It certainly is, man. Jake, like you said, man, once you get down here, it has a way of holding on to you, and it just doesn't let you go. It just doesn't let you go.
Exactly. Again, you know, I've turned down job offers elsewhere. This is where I want to stay. It's fun. You know, I also love the Pelicans, too, so that certainly helps, and it's great to have a team to support with all of that.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. Check him out, at NolaJake on Twitter. Always a pleasure, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Christian.
You bet. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. The Pro Football Hall of Fame will not individually mention Terrell Owens. He's celebrating his Hall of Fame induction at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. Well, the Hall of Fame said they're going to mail him the gold jacket, not going to mention him individually. And it's just like a high schooler that skips his graduation, sits out or doesn't want to go to the graduation. You still get a diploma, but you're not on the roll call. You don't get to walk across the stage. They don't mention your name there. I think the Hall of Fame is doing the right thing here. There's no reason to bring him up as an individual. None. Why would you if he wants to skip it? Just mail him his jacket. What are they going to do with his bust? Just going to put it in? I would think so. If they're not going to mention him individually, fine. Yeah, exactly. Just put it in. You're in the Hall of Fame, T.O. Your bust is there. But I agree with the Hall of Fame's decision to not even mention him. Tell me if I'm wrong. Do you think the Hall of Fame is doing T.O. a disservice just because he's not attending his Hall of Fame induction? 504-260-1870. Text 87870. They'll mail his gold jacket Saturday morning, the day of the enshrinement. That's when they'll mail it. So he doesn't even get to put it on until the next day or two, if it's, you know, unless it's overnighted. So he has to wait. There's a little bit of a penalty there because the rest of the Hall of Fame class that he's going in with, guys like Bobby Bethard, Brian Dawkins, Robert Brazil, Jerry Kramer, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, and Brian Urlacher, they're going to put it on right there. I still think that this is one of those deals where if somebody could just talk to T.O. and explain to him and say, hey, you're missing out on an opportunity of a lifetime, like lifetime worth of memories. This is an elite club you're joining. There's only, what, I think 300-plus in the Hall of Fame? Half are living still? I mean, there's very, very few people walking this face of the earth in a gold jacket enshrined in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. I like the approach from the Hall of Fame. Don't individually mention him. Mail the gold jacket. Just put his bust in Canton. There's no reason to. It's a great decision by the Hall of Fame. Jerry in LaPlace, what's going on, Jerry? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian. Yeah, I just wanted to get a little input on with this Hall of Fame.
Jerry, I got to put you back on hold because you're in a bad cell, hey. Man. You there?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
No, you're cutting in and out. I'm going to put you back on hold. All right, let's go to Tony in Algiers. Mark, check in with Jerry in a few minutes to see if his cell has gotten better. Tony in Algiers, what's going on, Tony? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian, how you doing, bro? Let me tell you, as far as the T.O. deal is concerned, my personal opinion, I wouldn't even mail it to him. I'd make his ass come and pick it up himself. You know what I'm saying? Them guys, the labor for their love to get where they are, and just like he did when he was playing ball with the 49ers, with the Eagles, and with the Cowboys, causing all this confusion and corruption, corrupting the game, fussing at the quarterback and all this foolishness. He don't want to go, I wouldn't even make a big deal out of it, bro.
No, that's what they're doing. Turn the radio off, please. So that's what they're doing, in essence. They're not even going to individually mention him.
They shouldn't mention him. They shouldn't mention him. I mean, what he's done as a player to the game, you know, it's just disrespectful.
Well, I mean, as far as what he did, some of the antics were sometimes unpopular and not received very well. But as far as his numbers on the field, I mean, come on, they are Hall of Fame worthy. This all comes down to he wasn't a first ballot guy. And I don't understand where the message got lost that if you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer, then it's an insult. If you're in the Hall of Fame, it doesn't matter first ballot, second, or what have you. If you get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, if you get into Canton, man, you have reached football's immortality. I mean, you are the best of the best of the best, the all-time greatest to get into that place. It's not a slap in the face if you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer, and that's what T.O. ultimately is upset about. T.O. celebrating at UT Chattanooga, his Hall of Fame enshrinement. So the Hall of Fame will not individually mention Terrell Owens at the ceremony. Thanks for the phone call, by the way. Coming back for Jerry and LaPlace and you two at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is WWL. .1078 on the text line at 870-870. Two wrongs don't make a right. They're stooping to T.O.'s level. If I was one of the inductees, I'd mention him. By the way, the Hall of Fame, like the Heisman, is a popularity contest. A what? It's a popularity contest. Like the Heisman and like the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So if it's a popularity contest, why isn't Deuce McAllister in it? Popular guy. They like him. If it's a popularity contest, why isn't Zach Strieff going to be in a Pro Football Hall of Fame? People like him. People love Bobby Hebert. He's not going in the Hall of Fame. Come on. It's not a popularity contest. It's about numbers on the field. You're off base there. And you'd mention him as an inductee? If I was an inductee, I wouldn't. Because you're taking away from my day by not being here. Because I have to answer questions about you not being at your own Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony. I wouldn't mention him if I'm an inductee. Not at all. Jerry and LaPlace, what's going on, Jerry? You're on WWL. I'm mind blown by the fact that somebody would suggest the Hall of Fame is a popularity contest.
That's
laughable.
Yeah, thank you, man. You just took all the words out of my mouth. This is the thing. I'm thinking, look, are you seriously going to pout because you didn't go in the way you wanted to go in? You think the world should stop turning and we should roll out the red carpet like you're the greatest player in the NFL to ever get inducted into the Hall of Fame? Seriously, I'm thinking, come on, man, just like you said, there's a lot of other awesome players that still are not in the Hall of Fame. And this is the thing. I think that maybe, I don't know if they do because I haven't really researched and looked into it, but not only the numbers on the field, maybe we ought to look at the character of the person putting the numbers on the field as well before you're inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Nah, well, look, the character.
I mean, really.
They do when it comes to, I can promise you, Darren Sharper will never be in a Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
But as far as what they do off the field, you know, like T.O., I have no problems with T.O. getting in the Hall of Fame despite the fact that I thought he behaved like a clown at times off the field. But as long as he doesn't break laws and, you know, he's not a child molester or a murderer or something like that, then I think that you shouldn't consider prevent somebody from getting into the Hall of Fame if they have Hall of Fame numbers.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just in talking, you know, in general, okay, so you're not going to show up and now, you know, some people say, oh, well, they shouldn't mention it because I totally agree. If, you know, that's a great honor. You should be proud. You should be humble. And so regardless of how it came about, you ought to walk in there with a humble attitude and say, you know what? Wow, what a career I've had. Wow, I've made it into the NFL Hall of Fame. I didn't know that my career would take me there, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, people got to get back humble. This stuff about, you know, everything I did on my own, no. You know why you're in the Hall of Fame? Because, yeah, you put some numbers on the field, but don't forget that, you know, you played with a team, not just yourself. You didn't do this by yourself. You played with a team. So that team helped you get those numbers.
Yeah. No, look, most of them get that and understand that. Jerry, thanks for the phone call, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, John in New Orleans. What's going on, John? You're on
WWL. Hey, Christian. I know who votes for Heisman, but who votes for Hall of Fame?
Same people that vote for the Heisman? The media?
Oh, so it's strictly media. No ex-Hall of Fame, no Hall of Famers?
No, hold on. No, it's all writers and you know, like, for example.
Owners?
No, it's all writers or media or television personalities or radio personalities.
Okay, thanks, man. That's all I had.
That's all you had?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll step away and come back. T.O., not going to be individually mentioned by the Hall of Fame at his enshrinement ceremony. Right move or wrong move? Did the Hall of Fame get it right or wrong? For me, they absolutely got it right. I wouldn't do it. Here's your gold jacket. I'll send it to you in the mail. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk here on Saints Radio. It took 3 years because of his off-the-field stuff, and in that sense, it is a popularity contest, the Hall of Fame. No, it's not. It took 3 years because there was other guys in the classes that took precedent over him. Did his off-the-field antics maybe sour a few Hall of Fame voters? Yes. Yes. But at the same time, that should send a message of, hey, look, while you're going to get in, your numbers are worthy, it does matter how you behave. That should be a part of it. Now, I'm not saying that you should shut somebody out of the Hall of Fame if they behave like T.O., because his numbers are phenomenal. And he deserves to be in Canton. But if you act like a jerk sometimes, this is the way that sometimes, you know, you get payback like this. You just do. It happens in life. Not just in the Hall of Fame, but just in life in general. People hold you accountable for your actions sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not a popularity contest. The way that it's being phrased, meaning that if they just like you, then you're in the Hall of Fame. Or if they dislike you, they'll keep you out of the Hall of Fame. They might go, you know what? Hey, you know, we're going to hold T.O. accountable. And okay, fine. If that's the case, if that's how you're looking at it, then maybe it is a little bit of a popularity contest in that context. But again, T.O., magnificently talented player. Magnificently talented. I mean, look what he did with San Francisco, Dallas, the Eagles. But he was a locker room divider, that's for sure. He was a coach killer, a quarterback wrecker, a team chemistry destroyer. I mean, those are all facts. But I think his immaturity is what's plagued him the most, just by this decision to ultimately not attend his Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremony because he's bitter that he's not a first ballot. He wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. So what? Who cares? You're in the Hall of Fame, man. Most of these players currently in the NFL, if you ask them, hey, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, but you won't be first ballot Hall of Fame. You okay with that? 99% of them would say, yeah. But now look, there is that pressure. Like we've somehow made it shameful that you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like it's some sort of, you know, a dishonor if you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like you're not as worthy of going into Canton. Somehow that narrative has been spun, and I would completely disagree with it. I don't care if you're a first ballot or not. I don't care how long it takes you to get in the Hall of Fame. If you're in the Hall of Fame, they don't have delineations on your jacket, on your bust, saying, not a first ballot Hall of Famer, so look at him differently. His bust is going to be smaller because he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. There is no demarcation on that. So why does it matter? But somehow we've come to this conclusion, this narrative that, oh, I want to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't want to just be a Hall of Famer. I want to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. John Uptown, what's going on, John? You're on WWL.
Hey, just a real short and sweet thing. It took Jerry Kramer how many years to get in? Might be the greatest pulling guard of all time. It's not about the numbers. It's about ability in the scope of things. The voters showed great restraint in saying, you know what, T.O., we didn't like you then, but we just accept your numbers. We vote you in the second ballot. It's a fact of life. If you can't deal with it, move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think the approach is wrong, but I don't think it's just T.O. What I'm saying here, though, John, is that there are some Hall of Famers, I'm sure, that feel like, well, especially in this generation, as we see more and more guys go in, that in my generation that I grew up watching, there's a certain amount of pressure. They feel like they are less significant if they're insignificant in the Hall of Fame if they're not a first ballot Hall of Famer, which I don't think is true. I mean, if you're in the elite of the elite, who cares? It just doesn't matter. But somehow there's been a narrative crafted that you're less worthy if you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, it's an insult.
Well, I think the voters did the right thing. And all I point out is Willie Rofe got in the Hall of Fame before Jerry Kramer did. I mean, let's face it. There's something that's not right there or something that's very right there.
Yeah, look, sometimes the voters, the Hall of Fame committee, doesn't get it right based on production, based on just numbers alone. But they tend to right themselves. It tends to fix itself. The guys that are deserving, even though it's not first ballot, they end up getting it right. They end up getting in the Hall of Fame, which they're deserving to do so.
T.O. had the numbers to get in. He got in. I'm sorry he didn't get on the first ballot. I'm sorry his feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
You know, if he's going to take it that way, you know, he acted like a child when he was playing. He's continuing to act like a child. And, you know, you shouldn't be surprised. Just move on.
Do you like how the Pro Football Hall of Fame is handling it, not even individually mentioning him?
Yep, I agree with that. I think your high school analogy is perfect. You know, you decide not to show up. You know, okay, we're going to give you the diploma. We're going to put you in the Hall of Fame. But we're not going to make a big deal about the fact that you're not here.
Yeah, your name's not going to be announced with the others. I think it's right on point.
I agree with you that none of the other guys should do it. This is a day for celebration, and I'm not going to bring the proceedings down by mentioning somebody who's being a spoiled sport.
John, appreciate the phone call, all right?
All right.
Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. If you're just joining us, T.O. will not be individually mentioned at the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony. His jacket is going to be mailed to him. His bust will be in. They won't unveil it. They'll just put it in, as far as I know. They'll just put it in there. By the way, every time I think about the busts, I think of John Madden when he was being enshrined, and he said, you know, I always wondered, now I'll get to know if the busts talk to themselves at night. Great humor from John Madden. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Hey, you love the great outdoors? Well, WWL wants to send you and three friends to the Louisiana Sportsman Show Deer, Duck, and Fishing Expo. Back at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, July 20th through the 22nd. It's the biggest hunting and fishing show in the state and fun for the entire family. Join me between now and 8 p.m. and listen for the duck call. When you hear it, I'll give you the number to call in and win free tickets to the Louisiana Sportsman Show Deer, Duck, and Fishing Expo from WWL. Back to the phones we go. New York Sam in Mid-City. What's going on, New York Sam?
Hey, guys. Talking about this T.O. kind of situation, I think everyone agrees that we'd like to see him there. But I do want to take the kind of contra argument from his perspective a little bit. What I don't like to see in the Hall of Fame is that sports writers, by nature, as journalists, are supposed to be, leave their opinions at the door and just kind of represent the facts. I really don't need your opinion as a sports writer. I just want to know what's going on in terms of the reality of whatever sport I'm watching. And what I don't like is that a lot of these folks use their personal vendettas to hold people back. And I think that's kind of a, for lack of a better word, FU from T.O.'s perspective, more that these people did him wrong because his on the field truly represents what's a Hall of Famer. Now, we can go back from Kem Brown to 1,000 other wide receivers that got screwed over in the same manner. So I don't mean to say that he's the only person at that position that has not been properly represented for their ability. But I do think as a sports fan, a very, very, strong sports fan, I take a little bit of offense to these guys as sports writers using their opinion. Ken Griffey Jr. on the
baseball. Well, wait, hold on. Their opinion. Well, let's back up for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I get where you're – what you're saying. I smell what you're stepping in. And what I'm telling you, though, is that their opinion is going to help formulate whether those numbers are truly good enough. So you can't say they can't have an opinion. Now, I understand what you're conveying when it comes to holding something, a vendetta over one of these guys' heads that should be in the Hall of Fame, because we would both look at T.O.'s numbers and say, yeah, those are Canton worthy. Unfortunately, though, I think that while that's utopic to think that, oh, yeah, we shouldn't, or those writers shouldn't, but it's human nature that it's going to.
Yeah, sure. I can appreciate that. But then don't talk about, like, you know, the fit, the state being, you know, this unbiased representation. So I get that. So I only make this argument because it is ultimately the sports writer that would stand up and say, I'm doing this for, you know, to call the action call the action without bias. But even in your statement, you're saying, I'm going to call without bias by showing bias. And what I was going to just...
But we don't know if they definitely did that, though, New York, Sam. We don't know. Well, we're speculating.
Well,
we think.
Because to your point, and this is not, he's not the only player, but we know that because eligibility says, like, if we look at his numbers, by themselves, we know they're Hall of Fame. So what they brought into was things beyond his physical ability to play the game. And that's what the museum is supposed to be. And I know that's an idealistic perspective, but I think it's good to call BS on the media when they try to play both sides of that equation, try to be, you know, we're going to call the shots as it is, but then going to say, well, I'm allowed to bring my opinion to the table. It can't be both ways. And the one example I'll use on another sport is, you know, somebody like Ken Griffey Jr. not being a first ballot Hall of Famer because some guy said, well, Babe Ruth wasn't, so no one else can be. You know, like his argument saying, well, this person, it's just...
Now, that is silly. I agree with you there, New York, Sam. But do you agree, real quick, before I let you run, that there's somehow been this, like, it's a slap in the face if you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes, it's kind of the same argument with championship rings in basketball, which is why they're chasing championship rings, because they realize there's a legacy to be put along with it. So the first, the Jerry Rice is the best receiver. He was the first ballot Hall of Famer. But you can't tell me, as much as I love Jerry Rice, I wouldn't take Chris Carter right along with
them. Yeah, well, look, it doesn't say on their bust, it doesn't say on their jacket, hey, by the way, this is a second ballot Hall of Famer. They're never introduced that way as, oh, first ballot Hall of Famer, Jerry Rice, second ballot Hall of Famer, so-and-so. They've kind of put too much on that. They're hung up on that. I'm talking about the players. New York, Sam, really good call, man. Enjoy talking to you. Don't be a stranger. Next hour, Mike Dettillier, counting you down to Saints training camp next here on Saints Radio, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.